it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hey everybody, it's the Title IX Podcast and the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. I'm Steph Copley with Elisa Woods. Hey Elisa.
What's up? Just a casual day for us here.
Yeah, no, we're not celebrating with giant party hats and what are these
kazoos
called? Kazoos, ready?
Right?
I'm going to turn around and do it. You do it. Because it's our 50th episode and we like to celebrate things around here.
Heck yeah.
I even got cyclone colored kazoos.
I know, I noticed. Of course I noticed.
I'm always planning.
These are ABC, always be planning.
What?
That's what they say.
I don't know this they.
I'm going to take these for sure to games this fall.
You're going to hold on to those until the fall?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Girl, I just pulled some M&Ms out of my purse from who knows when.
That's true. You fed them to my children. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
She pulled out M&Ms like Mary Poppins. It was amazing.
I'm just trying to bribe them so they
for
like
for your
me.
Love.
Yeah, so they like me more than they like Jared.
I don't think you have to worry about that. Well, it's our 50th episode, everybody, so we're going to celebrate throughout. I have some surprises for you. Not
surprises,
just surprises.
Oh, gosh.
So
can I tell you about
ready.
A prize? So I was at my physical therapist today, and they have some sort of contest going on where you have to guess the amount of nails in this little jar. And I said, I'm very competitive. And so I guessed.
No, not you.
Yeah. And so I was very nervous about my guess. And I was guessed 211, but I went with 218 because that's my birthday. And the woman who knows the answer said, oh, wow, I'm very impressed. And I said, oh, really? And she goes, just so you know. So I think that
she's
means
she's in the know.
Yeah, I think that that means that I was close.
So are you going to find out soon?
I don't know.
You didn't ask about the details of the contest?
To be honest, I don't even know what I win.
You just want to win?
100%. I have no idea what I win, and I didn't even think about it until this very moment.
Okay, well, good. Keep us posted. Okay. We're going to be on the edge of our seats find out. So we, as always, are sponsored by the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. And at least I don't know if you saw, but they just finished a beautiful expansion on the Jardine Business Building.
Gotta love it.
Which got me thinking, we've mentioned this in passing, but we really need to take our little children to the AIM, to Iowa State campus and do a little picnic.
Yeah.
Picnic.
That would be very fun.
So let's do that.
By the campanile.
And then you can just hand out candy as we go.
Yeah.
Out of your Mary Poppins bag.
Yeah. I'm just like a human parade.
You kind of are. It's pretty great.
It's true.
The whole podcast network is, of course, sponsored by our friends over at the Mississippi River Distilling Company. You know, I never heard from Ryan about our Olympics-themed drink or our drink for our 50th episode.
Dang.
So, hey, Ryan, you listening, buddy?
Come on, man.
But still, even if he doesn't listen, make sure you check out all of the wonderful spirits from the Mississippi River Distilling Company, including, of course, Cody Road.
To be fair, I forgot about it, too. So,
and it's your podcast, so.
I think I'd probably just go with a straight shot.
Of bourbon?
Whatever.
What's that kind of night?
Yeah. Woo-hoo. That's my drink of choice.
Just a straight shot of whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Whatever's in the fridge because I like it cold.
I do too. All right. So this is our 50th episode. So here's your first surprise. throughout the podcast, I'm going to be throwing little random tidbits about the number 50 at you, okay?
You keep saying things that make me think you're going to give me presents.
No, you got your present. It's this giant party hat. It's legitimately, you guys, it's okay. Like a foot and a half tall.
It is.
And these little kazoos.
It is.
Yeah. We'll send out a picture later. But they're very bright and obnoxious because yeah. That's how we roll.
I love
okay,
it.
No prizes other than
okay,
those.
Okay, what's the quiz? Is it a quiz?
Yeah. Okay. This one's a quiz. Who currently wears number 50 for the Iowa State football team? I didn't know this, so I had to look it up. Jared, do you know? Jared doesn't know. What?
Isaiah Lee.
No. Tyler Morrow. Because we're playing a game, Jared. Just play along.
Who wore number 50 at Ames High because it was the biggest jersey they could find?
Who?
Me. Why is that so funny?
I didn't expect that. I thought you were going to name off some football player. No. Right now.
Basketball.
My mind was football. So all I can think about is you running out in a giant football jersey.
Girlfriend wasn't going to wear a medium. I'll tell you that right now.
No, no mediums for you. Oh, well, there we go. I'm already sweating.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyway.
52 for Awakens. Okay. Wait, maybe it was 51.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tyler Morrow is the 3-star offensive tackle out of Davenport Assumption. He's an Iowa boy. So now you know. I bet you never forget that now.
Never.
And I'll never get the image out of you in a giant football jersey out of my head either.
You know, it was the early 2000s. Yeah. They had to be a little baggy.
I get it. It's different now. Yeah. Very different now. Yep. All right. The reason I started out with football is because Big 12 media days are over. There's a lot of coverage on Cyclone Fanatic. We don't have to rehash everything. But you know what it is? It's officially watch list season.
Hey-o. And it's, I think it's 7 Saturdays until the first game.
It sure is. Can you believe it? It's going to be here before you know it.
I'm doing a dance.
She is. She's bopping her head back and forth. Jared posted some stuff about the watch list that Brock and Brees and Will McDonald and all those micros are on. And I don't know what any, like at this point, it's like, cool, another watch list,
right.
But it's fine with me.
I like it.
Keep piling them on.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a very Olympics heavy, I would say, would you say, episode? But I have one more episode 50 trivia for
okay,
you.
Okay, lay it on me.
It's also football related.
That really blew people out right there.
That's good.
I'm
keeping
sorry.
Them awake. Okay, this is the last football-related one.
Okay.
Will there be more than 50 yards of penalty yards for horns down this season? More or less than 50 yards?
For us?
No, just some
season. Just all together. I'm going to go with they're going to laugh it off and say less.
Okay, that's the official take from Elisa. She's going with the under on 50 yards.
I feel like they're going to give us a little bit because... They're gonna give everybody a little bit.
A little wiggle room.
Let them have a little fun.
Okay, I hope you're right. All right, let's talk Olympics. The Olympics technically start today. They've actually already started. Japan kicked off a softball game against Australia, and I think the U.S. is playing Italy probably right about now. Oh, is it later tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had it on here somewhere, but I have so many notes. I wrote out everything I was going to say instead of typically just writing some notes.
Like word for word?
Yeah.
Now you can't find it.
Yeah.
It's the first time softball is in the Olympics in the last 13 years, which doesn't seem possible. It hasn't been the Olympics for quite a while, but 13 years seems like a long time.
Yeah.
It was dropped in 2008. That year, Japan won the gold medal, and I looked back. Japan and the U.S. are the only ones to gold medal in softball since its history.
Ever?
In 1990. It only started in 1996, but still. So it was dropped in 2008. This is the first time since 2008, and it's not in the 2024 Olympics. But they're trying to advocate for it to be in the 2028 Olympics in LA. So
yeah.
We'll see. It's a fast, super fast growing sport here. So
yeah, I just wonder how it fares.
Sorry, that's my kid. She's
got some
singing.
Extra music. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I think she was singing the Juicy Wiggle.
I think she was probably singing Hamilton. It was either Hamilton or In the Heights, both Lin-Manuel.
Amazing.
Lin-Manuel. Miranda.
Yeah, they do. They start at 10 p.m. tonight against Italy. And I would just say, if you want to watch the U.S. softball team, watch Kat Osterman, amazing pitcher, and then my favorite player, Rachel Garcia from UCLA.
Yes. Yeah. So that, so it's not a single elimination. It's one of those crazy,
yeah,
it's a
round
lot like
robin.
Yeah, like a College World Series type, yeah, situation. So yep, check it out. Hey, Nora, can you go around Uncle Jared so you don't knock any cords off? Thank you. He was stressing out. I could see it. The other thing that starts before the official lighting of the torch,
yes,
the opening ceremonies, is U.S. Women's Soccer.
Yeah.
U.S. Women's National Team plays technically tomorrow, although it's overnight our time. They, yeah, play against the Swedes.
Mm-hmm. Who knocked them out in Rio.
That's right. So if you're awake at 1:30 a.m., turn it on. I think it's on the USA Network.
Could be.
Yeah, something like that. One
the
of those,
USA Network.
Or one of those random channels.
That would be good advertising if it was the USA Network.
Well, I don't know what it's technically called anymore. Oh. I just know it's on one of those affiliates at this point. Well, anyway, I know they're on. So those are on. That all kicks off before the opening ceremonies, which are on Friday.
Brilliant.
Okay, let's talk about the weird stuff going on with the Olympics. Did, yeah, you see Coco Gauff tested positive?
Yeah. So I have, I don't know if it's necessarily thoughts, but I think like this is like there's a very valid conversation that African Americans are having,
yes,
about the vaccine and whether or not they choose to get it. And I don't think that that's really my place to step in and say she should have gotten it,
right,
because her reasons are like historically like significant and make sense.
And so, by the way, if you don't know what Elise is talking about, do some research.
Yeah.
And it won't take you long.
Right.
Yeah.
So I like, when we talked about Coco, I just want to give the facts,
yeah,
about her.
Yeah.
That she backed out of the Olympics because she tested positive. And a reminder, she's only 17 years old.
Right.
And so she tweeted, like, hopefully I'll have another chance to do that. She's currently ranked 25th in the world. So I don't know that she necessarily had a chance to medal in these,
right,
games. But, I mean, you never know. You really never know game to game. Match to match, who is going to win. Really, she could have. But she said it was always a dream of hers to represent the USA in the Olympics, and she hopes there will be many more chances. And I mean, there will be many more chances, and it's unfortunate, and I'm hoping that it's asymptomatic and she's feeling fine. That's just a fact.
And then after Coco announced that, a member of the USA gymnastics team also tested positive. We found out later that it was an alternate. We,
yep,
don't know which alternate it was, but we do know it was one of the teenagers.
Yeah.
So again, same thing kind of with Coco. We don't know all of the circumstances. She's a young girl.
Yeah.
We don't know what all went into it. And I think, so there's a knee-jerk reaction to question why these athletes aren't getting vaccinated,
yeah,
and I'm guilty of that myself.
Yeah.
But I think we need to remember that each person has their own rationale and their own set of circumstances, and we don't know everything that goes into that decision.
Yeah. And I do think, like, my knee-jerk reaction was kind of like, a lot of these athletes feel privileged, feel immune, feel like, you know, they're super healthy and could never get sick and this and that. But it's not about whether you get sick or whether you have long-term consequences. At this point, like, it's that you don't get to play in the Olympics,
right,
you know, and that's a consequence,
right,
that people are going to have to start dealing with consequences now that they have chosen, now that it's readily available and they have chosen not to. And that's fine if you have a reason that you've chosen not to do it. And she, I feel like, gracefully took her consequences,
right,
of her actions.
I think that's a great way to put it, because if that's your choice, you know what could happen,
right,
and then you can't be angry or pissed off if that becomes a reality.
Right.
And you also have to be willing and ready to take the public outcry or frustration of the, why didn't you get the vaccine?
Right.
I think you have to be prepared for that.
Right.
Because there will be. And I'm, like I said, I do that too.
Right.
Because I do. I mean, there are, I do have a lot of questions of why wouldn't you just get the damn thing?
Yeah.
But I, you know, there are a lot of historical, cultural things that,
yeah,
I don't particularly, I can't relate to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a white girl, so.
And I think that also we have learned in the last couple weeks from Naomi,
yeah,
that we don't need to jump down their necks, that mental health is also a situation here. She's 17. Just a reminder before you get on Twitter and spout your little fingers off, she's 17.
Can we talk about that? This isn't Olympics related,
yeah,
necessarily, but so Naomi Osaka,
yeah,
decided she was going to pull out of several major tennis tournaments, citing her mental health, saying she didn't feel comfortable answering questions from the media. It was messing up her game. It was messing up her mind. And then after that, she comes out and says she's doing like a Netflix documentary, but it was already done prior to this.
Yeah.
She also came out with the new Barbie, which, why are we criticizing a young athlete for putting out a Barbie? But anyway, right, there's criticism out there. And then she was just it was just announced that she's on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, and people lost their minds of saying, how can you put your body out there when you can't take questions from reporters? Can I just say, those are two very different things.
Oh,
she might be completely confident in her body and not confident in how she responds to the media.
Right.
Just like some people are comfortable in how they talk or are able to public speak, but they're not comfortable with their body. They're two entirely different things. And also, she's, like you said, she's young. She's setting boundaries that are her boundaries. Can we just take a step back for a second?
No, totally agree. And actually, this kind of goes into something that I also wanted to talk about. So she is, Naomi is the second highest paid Olympic athlete in these games after Kevin Durant. And a majority of the people on the top 10 list, this list came out by Forbes. And I didn't see Simone on there, which makes me wonder. And I couldn't find much information about her sponsorships and stuff, but so most of the people on the list were NBA players,
right? Which makes sense.
Which makes sense. And a good chunk of those also mentioned that they're that most of their money came on the court. Like Chris Middleton is on there, and it said, like, nearly all of the money that he made this year comes from his paycheck from the NBA. Whereas with Naomi, so she's the second highest paid athlete at the Olympics after Kevin Durant, and she made $60 million this year. $55 million were in endorsements.
Wow.
And only $5 million were in prize money. So imagine Kevin Durant only makes $5 million and the rest is in endorsements. That's not true. So I think that, you know, Naomi is probably up there with the most endorsements of any athlete at the Olympics,
right?
Because she comes from a sport where she doesn't get paid
on the court, right,
basically, unless she wins. So I just thought that was a really interesting fact. And when you're talking about all of these other endorsements, that's because she's a businesswoman. Like, these are the monies that she's making because she's investing in herself, and she's going out to get a paycheck.
So that, I think that's important for two reasons. One, just keep that in mind when you're criticizing her going out and doing these endorsements, like you're saying.
Right.
Two, she has a lot more to lose if she decides, I'm going to pull back and not play. Not because she's not going to get the money on the court, but suddenly if she's not playing and she's not out there and she's not representing the brands, they're going to say, well, wait a second. So I keep that in mind. She's carefully weighing her decisions, and she's made a decision that mental health is very important right now. So
yeah. And I'm also picturing, like, every cover that Michael Phelps was ever on in his teeny weeny itsy bitsy yellow polka dot bikini, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's all good for him. Which also leads me to another point.
Okay.
So this doesn't actually have to do with the Olympics, but I think it was leading up to the Olympics. So the Norwegian beach volleyball players.
I wanted to talk about this too.
Yeah. So they were fined by the European, I guess they call it handball.
Over there. Weirdos.
Yeah. European Handball Federation, because they wore shorts instead of bikini bottoms. And the men get to wear, like, shorts to their knees. Like, imagine basketball shorts.
Yes.
That's what the men wear, and tank tops. And the women wear tiny...
They're bikini bottoms.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, they are.
Yeah. And so I tried, when I was thinking about this earlier, to play devil's advocate. And what I came up with was that they need to wear the bikini bottoms because... And that's where I got stuck.
Do you remember? So when we played, we had long sleeves and then the long compression shorts.
Yeah.
And then it kind of moved away from that to the shorter shorts and then sleeveless. Mm-hmm. And now I've seen kind of a trend back towards long sleeves, but the shorts have gotten progressively shorter and and shorter. I don't know what the answer is. Like, if you can't wear, why couldn't you just wear long compression shorts?
Right.
What the hell's the difference?
Why can't they just wear whatever they want and we don't commentate on it?
I mean, that would be great too.
That would be ideal. Because they're out there to play sports. But I mean, truly, they're not. They're out there for men to ogle them, and which is the legitimate reason why they have to wear bikini bottoms. Like, that's That's a fact.
I don't know what else.
And it's, you can't argue.
So I'm curious. So they got fined because they wanted to wear something else that was better covering.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I'd be curious to see if there's some sort of a lawsuit or some, you know, I guess I don't even know what the governing body is for them, but yeah. it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. So also double Paralympic world champion.
Oh my gosh.
Olivia Breen,
saw this too.
She was told that her sprint briefs were too short and inappropriate. So it's like, so part of me wants to, I'm just going to like call a spade. Is it because she's disabled?
Yes.
That's why you don't want her to be in bikini bottoms?
Yeah.
I mean, is that why? Because she doesn't like get you going?
Yeah.
Is that why?
Yeah.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to men who are telling these women what to wear and making these decisions. Like, I mean, your slip's showing. You know what I mean?
I feel, yeah. So generally speaking, before we talk about some of the specific athletes that we want to keep our eye on, these Olympics have already been kind of a mess, and they haven't even started yet. Obviously, Tokyo has a serious COVID outbreak happening. Their population is largely unvaccinated. They're concerned about athletes coming in. I don't know if you saw today, they have these beds, they're cardboard to discourage athletes having sex in the Olympic Village.
Sex.
And then, I don't know, just little thing. Well, it's not little to them, but Toyota was one of their major sponsors. They pulled out just like a couple days ago.
Wow.
Because they're just, the country doesn't want it. So
right.
They're like, what are we doing?
I heard 10,000 volunteers quit.
Oh, man.
That's
it's
a
just
lot.
I, at this point, as an Olympic athlete, I would be little nervous how this is gonna go.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be devastating at this point to I don't think it's going to get canceled. I just wonder if there will be certain things that don't go as planned.
Yeah.
Or don't, I mean, certain events or, you know, whatever that yeah. don't get done. But
yeah.
Oh, rough. Do you want to talk about another blunder that we both saw?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the Paralympic games.
So Becca Myers, six-time Olympic medalist, chose not to compete in the Tokyo Paralympic Games because she was denied a personal care assistant. So the games told her there would be a personal care assistant for her available.
Can I just say she's deaf and blind?
Right, she's deaf and blind. And they said, and her personal care assistant is her mom.
Yeah.
And they said, no, she can't come. There will be one there for you. And 33 other Paralympic swimmers. One personal care assistant for 33 other Paralympic swimmers. And she just didn't feel safe or comfortable with that, which I
can't blame her.
Yeah, don't blame her at all. And decided not to go.
Yeah,
like that's
it's similar to the moms wanting their children while breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys.
Right. Let's just use our common
brains?
Sense.
I don't know. Yeah, I just don't have a ton of confidence in how this is all going to roll out.
No.
But we'll see.
Agreed.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then I want to chat a little bit about the women's national basketball team with a couple of ugly losses before the Olympics.
Yeah, for sure.
You've heard us talk about farm story meats before, but we're going to talk about them again because we all know the importance of knowing where our food comes from. Elisa, we talked about that a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it can be impossible to tell, but with farm story meats, Ray Schmidt, who is he's a local Iowa boy, and his family raises certified Chester white pork. He works with his neighbors and friends to raise grass-fed and Angus beef, pasture-raised poultry, and heritage breed lamb. So they are based in Ames, but they sell everything online. I'm sure you've heard us talk about it, Chris and Brent on their podcast, but we're talking everything from bacon to ribs to pork chops, brats, brisket, ribeye, everything that an Iowa girl or guy could ever want.
They have some certain packages on there that look really good. One is like a all pork package.
We should buy one and then have a nice barbecue.
That would be epic.
Let's do it.
Okay.
These guys will eat it too. But they offer free deliveries to Central Iowa, Ames, Ankeny, Des Moines area, and they can ship anywhere else across the country if you're not listening to us in Central Iowa. So check them out, farmstorymeats.com. Ray's a former Cy. I think we've told you guys that before, and he's a big supporter of Cyclone Fanatics. So he's offering a discount code. Type in FREEDOM10, the number 10, at checkout. And this offer is good through the end of the month, the end of July. And order before June 20th. Well, we're well past June 27th. This is an old rate. But again, for the 10% off, it's FREEDOM10. That's good for the end of July for a discount. That's farmstorymeats.com. Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, we're back. Let's talk a little bit about the women's national basketball team. So the men lost. We heard a ton about that.
Yes.
So they lost to, was it Australia and Nigeria?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the women, first it was Team WNBA, the All-Stars, played against Team USA. It was kind of their, which was a really cool way to do it, by the way. It was the All-Star break for the WNBA, and that's how they did their All-Star game.
Yeah.
But Team USA lost 93-85 in that game. It was a super competitive game. The game was tied 13 different times. There were 10 lead changes. So it's not as if they weren't just, they weren't honing it in like a typical All-Star game would be.
Yeah.
So the NBA, the WNBA commissioner made a joke about she's never seen so much defense in an All-Star game, so which is great. And Sue Bird said she was okay with it because she thought, maybe it taught Team USA a couple of lessons.
Yeah.
They're not a full team yet. It was kind of one of their first times getting thrown together. You're throwing 12 of the best players in the league together, it doesn't necessarily mean it's all going to mesh.
Yeah.
So whatever. It's one of those things where you don't try to put a lot of emphasis on and just kind of move on. But then 2 days later, on July 16th, the U.S. Team lost to Australia at 70-67. It's the first time the Aussies beat the women's Team USA since 2010.
Wow.
So I don't know. It's one of those things. It's similar to the men. You don't want to freak out because these are some of the best athletes in the world and they're the best basketball players on the planet. But at the same time, it is a little concerning.
Yeah. And I mean, there's been a conversation with the men's team that the last couple MVPs of the league have been from overseas.
Right.
And, what does that mean? But still, and LeBron's not playing, but they still have the great majority of the best players, and it's just a matter of getting those players together and letting them play together and meshing and stuff. But that's also the case for Nigeria and for Australia. And I mean, maybe they don't have as many NBA guys, and maybe they are playing together
longer,
a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a couple arguments there. But as far as the women go, Diana Taurasi wasn't playing with them.
Right.
She hasn't played since early July.
And Coach Staley did say we were messing with some different lineup changes and different.
Exactly.
So I get it. I totally understand. I was a little bit shocked.
Yeah.
Because on paper, they should be, by and large, the best team in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
So I always say this when we're talking about the NFL preseason. So the preseason, you don't know what the coaches are telling them to do. Maybe they're telling them, I want you to focus on catching it with your left hand.
Right, they're experimenting.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
right.
They're experimenting. And so it's not going to be how they usually play. And I'm hoping that that's the case with these two teams.
And the good news is on Sunday, they beat Nigeria 93-62. It was a dominating win. And they're probably on the right track. They're in search of a historic seventh grade straight gold medal. And they're looking to extend a 49-game winning streak at the Olympics that dates back to 1992. So it's pretty wild.
That's crazy.
I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Okay, would you like another episode 50 game?
Yes.
How many countries were awarded a total of 50 or more medals, total medals, in the 2016 Rio Olympics?
Dang, I was hoping the answer would be 50.
I'm not that good.
Okay. 7.
4.
Oh.
Guess the top one.
Norway.
It's the U.S., you dummy. Oh. It was U.S., Great Britain, China, and Russia. The United States had 46 golds, 121 total medals. And for comparison's sake, Great Britain only had 67 total medals. So there you go.
All right.
All right, would you like one more episode 50 game before we go to our next quick break?
Yes, please.
Okay. Who do you think, in your mind, is the best athlete to ever wear the number 50?
Me. Hands down, easy one, me.
I should have realized that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, besides you, according
Who
to Bleacher Report, guess, David Robinson of the Spurs, which makes, I was like, oh, duh.
Yeah.
So 14 seasons with the Spurs, no big deal, but he was a 10-time All-Star, won 2 championships, was the MVP in 1995, Hall of Famer with Michael Jordan and John Stockton.
I mean.
Honorable mention was Mike Singletary of the Bears. He won, he was on their Super Bowl team, so.
I don't remember people's numbers.
I don't either.
Except for my own.
But when I saw Robinson, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll just remind you all that we're brought to you by Authentic Brand. Authentic Brand is more than just your source for... also your source for official Cyclone gear. With an amazing team of designers, Authentic Brand can custom manufacture polo shirts, jackets, caps, bags, and beyond for your team or small business. Check them out online at authentic-brand.com. Look authentic, feel authentic, be authentic. Okay, I have a couple of little tidbits about women in the news.
Yeah.
Which I think you and I shared this one. I don't know if you saw, everybody, but last week...
All y'all.
Y'all, the Orioles and Rays game featured an all-female broadcast team.
Yeah.
It's the first time in MLB history. Hopefully it's not the last time, but...
Hopefully not. I love it.
I didn't see it till after the fact. I wish I could have tuned in.
I know, same.
Do you want to just throw out a couple of the names of people we're watching on the Olympics as they kick off on Friday?
Sure.
And then we'll keep track of them as we go in the next couple of weeks? Okay.
So obviously, like, Simone Biles and Sunisa Lee. Sunisa has the most difficult bar routine in the world.
No big deal.
So tune in to her bar. Allyson Felix she's running the 400 meters and also the mixed gender 4x400, which I thought was interesting.
Oh.
It's new.
So that's new, and then the 3-on-3, that's basketball, is that new as well?
I think 3-on-3 basketball.
Or was that, that's not new.
Jared's saying yes.
Okay.
So Sydney McLaughlin and Delilah Muhammad, track and field, 400 meter hurdles. It's going to be between those two most likely. April Ross and Alex Kleinman in sand volleyball. And I mean, just the usual names, Katie Ledecky, Simone Manuel, swimming.
And the entire U.S. Women's National Team for Soccer.
Obviously.
We're big fans.
Yeah.
Big fans. Okay, here's our last installment of the Episode 50 game for this episode. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to give you two inspiring female athletes over the age of 50. We've got Joan Benoit Samuelson. She's 64. She won the gold medal in the Women's Marathon in 1984, which was the first year it was offered. She held the fastest times in the Chicago and Boston marathons for several decades. And no big deal, but in 2019, the 40th anniversary of her first Boston Marathon, she finished in 3 hours and 4 minutes.
Wow.
The other one is Ida Keeling. She's 106 years old. She holds the record in the 60-meter and 100-meter distances for women in the 95 to 99 and 100-year-old age groups. Check out her story. Google it if you don't know it. It's really amazing.
Awesome.
All right. That's episode 50, everybody. Thanks for hanging along with us all these episodes. Hang in for 50 more. Iowa State plays in 6 Saturdays. Go Cyclones.
Go State.